ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 16 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड किंग चित्रकेतु मीट्स द लॉर्ड टेक्स्ट नंबर 21। यस्मिन् इदं यतश्चेदं तिष्ठत्यप्येति जायते मृण्मये शिवमृज्याते तस्मै ते ब्रह्मणे नमः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। Translation: as parts made completely of earth are situated on earth after being created and are transformed into earth again when broken, this cosmic manifestation is caused by the Supreme Brahman, situated in the Supreme Brahman and annihilated in the same Supreme Brahman. Therefore, since the Supreme Lord is the cause of Brahman, let us offer him our respectful obeisances. Purport: the Supreme Lord is the cause of the cosmic manifestation. He maintains it after creation and after annihilation, and after annihilation, the Lord is the reservoir of everything. Since the next verse does not have purport, we'll read the next verse also. यन्न स्पृशन्ति न विदुर मनो बुद्धि इन्द्रियासवः अन्तर्बहिश्च विततम् व्योमवत्तन्नतोऽस्म्यहम्। ट्रांसलेशन: द सुप्रीम ब्रह्मन् एमनेट्स फ्रॉम द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड एंड एक्सपैंड्स लाइक द स्काई। ऑल्दो अनटच्ड बाय एनीथिंग मटेरियल, इट एग्जिस्ट विदिन एंड विदाउट। नॉनदलेस, the mind, intelligence, senses and living force can neither touch him nor know him. I offer unto him my respectful obeisances. Request that I am not qualified to sit here and speak Srimad Bhagavatam, because devotees have given this service, so I am sitting here. I request all the devotees to give their blessings so that I can speak something for my purification, and also I may not get proud after speaking. So once Srila Prabhupada was traveling from Mexico to Caracas. So once, and Prabhupada boarded the flight, as soon as the flight started, Prabhupada started taking his prasadam. So devotees served Prabhupada some puffed rice. So Prabhupada took some puffed rice, then he gave the remaining, his Mahaprasad to his servants and secretaries. Then Shrutakirti Prabhu and one more devotee, they started honoring Prabhupada's Mahaprasad. Then that time one air hostess came to meet the devotees. So the air hostess, she grabbed some puffed rice from the devotee's plate, then she took some. And then she asked the devotees, who are you people? And devotees said, we are vegetarians. Then the air hostess said that, can I do something for you? Then Prabhupada said, please bring some hot milk. Then devotees also said, we also want some hot milk. Then she brought some hot milk, and then she asked, do you want something more? Then Prabhupada said, bring some fruits. Then she brought some fruits. Then devotees were telling to Prabhupada, this lady is having so much of service attitude. She is taking your Mahaprasad and she is ready to serve the devotees. It's so amazing. Then Prabhupada said, ladies have natural service attitude. Then, so then Prabhupada went there. And then many years later, Shrutakirti Prabhu was saying that some devotees went on Padayatra to one remote corner of the world. So there, they were well received by one devotee lady, then who fed prasadam to all the devotees, and then she was already a devotee, and then she served all these padayatra devotees. So then they realized that she was the same devotee who actually took the Mahaprasad of Srila Prabhupada and served the devotees in the flight. So we can see that this chapter is entitled King Chitraketu Meets the Supreme Lord. But actually when one meets a pure devotee of the Lord, then it is certain that eventually he will meet the Supreme Lord. So when one meets a pure devotee of the Lord, the pure devotee, one is supposed to serve the devotee, or one is supposed to hear from the devotee. So in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages of Naimisharanya, they glorify Suta Goswami, and then they glorify him to speak about Srimad Bhagavatam. They tell him to speak about the activities of Parikshit Maharaj. So that time, Suta Goswami recites a very wonderful verse. Suta Goswami says, Aham vayo janma brutadyahasma vriddhanu vrityapi viloma jata daushkulyamadim vidunoti shigram mahattamanam abhidana yoga. Suta Goswami says, although I am actually loban, actually Suta Goswami was born to mixed parents. One was from the lower community and the other was from the higher community. So Suta Goswami says, although I am born in a lower family, but still I have become elevated by birth simply by serving and following the great devotees who are advanced in knowledge. And then he says that simply by conversing with a great soul, one can actually become cleansed of all the disqualifications arising from lower birth. So Srila Prabhupada writes a very wonderful purport. Prabhupada says, Suta Goswami learned the science of Krishna consciousness from Srila Vyasadeva and from Sukadeva Goswami. Because of that, he became so much elevated that even the sages of Naimisharanya were ready to hear from him. So we can see that once Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, actually he was serving Srila Prabhupada by distributing books in the BBT library Bharati. So he was going to remote corners of the world, especially in the communist countries, and distributing books. So because of his service, Prabhupada was so much pleased with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj that Prabhupada told him that you will see Krishna in this lifetime. Then after some years, Prabhupada left this planet, disappeared from this planet. Then Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, though he remembered this statement, but he did not understand that you will see Krishna in this lifetime. Then in 1978, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj went to Jagannath Puri. But in Jagannath Puri, actually foreigners were not allowed to take darshan of Lord Jagannath. They were not allowed to enter even the temple of Lord Jagannath. But Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was so eager that he wanted to actually disguise himself as a Indian. So because he was like blackish in complexion, so he thought maybe like if he goes inside, then they may not recognize him as a foreigner. So then he went in, he dressed himself as a local Indian, and then he went. And it's actually such a difficult task, because if one is caught inside the Jagannath temple, that he's a foreigner, then the pandas will, he'll be given very heavy punishment. So, but then Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj somehow went inside, took the risk, then he went, and then somehow he went into the altar of Jagannath. He was so much tensed up, but he got the darshan of Jagannath by standing very near to Jagannath. So we can see that because Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj served Srila Prabhupada and pleased Prabhupada so much, that although externally he was actually he was born in a low family, but he became so much elevated that he could directly see Krishna in the same lifetime, which was impossible for a foreigner. So then we see in India, especially the Smartha Brahmanas, the South India, they actually like whenever we go to the home, they actually criticize the devotees. They say that this Hare Krishna movement is basically meant for those who are actually low born, because they see because the ISKCON was started, Prabhupada started ISKCON by going to West, and then he initially preached to the hippies. But so Smartha Brahmanas claim, we are already actually Brahmanas, we are already elevated, so we are not supposed to join this ISKCON. Only those who are low born, they are supposed to join, and they are not ready to listen from foreigners who are actually great devotees. So here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada makes a very interesting statement. Prabhupada says Sukadev Goswami was, he did not hesitate to impart Srimad Bhagavatam to Suta Goswami because he was born in a low family, nor did the sages hesitate to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadev Goswami, from Suta Goswami, because he was born in a low family. So then Prabhupada writes, 1,000 years back, there was actually no bar in learning Srimad Bhagavatam or preaching Srimad Bhagavatam because of inferior birth. Only in the recent past, only few hundred years back, actually this caste system became prevalent because of the increase in Dvijabandhus. So then here Prabhupada says that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he again revived this original system by actually elevating people such as devotees such as Haridas Thakur, who were externally born in a family of Muslims, but he elevated him to such a position of Namacharya that the whole world were, all the devotees are actually want to take blessings of Haridas Thakur. So then in this verse, the phrase Mahat, there is the word used is Mahattamanam Abhidana Yoga. So that means, simply by conversing with a great soul, one can actually become cleansed of all the disqualifications. So Prabhupada says, Mahattamanam Abhidana Yoga, it also means dictionary of the great devotees. So dictionary of great devotees means the books written by the great devotees. So Srila Prabhupada says that by reading the books written by great devotees, such as Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, one can actually become elevated in birth. So there is one disciple of Srila Prabhupada who was actually from the European country. So in the initial days, he had some problems in his spiritual life. So then he wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada that I am having such and such problems. He actually did not know English. So he took the help of some devotee and then wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada. So then Prabhupada wrote back to him saying that, "You just read my books." So this devotee was confused. Because that time, Prabhupada's books were translated only in the English language. So in his native language, Prabhupada's books were not yet translated. So he again wrote to Prabhupada that, "Prabhupada, actually I cannot read your books because I don't know English." And Prabhupada wrote back saying that, "You read my Srimad Bhagavatam, which is written in English language." So he became more confused. Then again once more confirmed with Prabhupada, and then finally he decided to read Srimad Bhagavatam. So for him it was such a difficult task because he did not know anything of the English language. So then he had to practically take the help of dictionary for every word of English. Then he just followed the instruction of Srila Prabhupada. Then he started reading Prabhupada's books. Then because of just following Srila Prabhupada, he became so much elevated that many years later, that he is now a sannyasi and guru in ISKCON, Bhakti Vaibhav Maharaj. He became so much elevated that he actually recently gave seminar in the Cambridge University, which is supposed to be like the high seat of education in the world. So we can see that simply by reading the books written by Srila Prabhupada, one can become so much elevated that he can actually preach to very high class of people. And then Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj writes in his memories that he tells how he actually came to Krishna consciousness. So before he met Srila Prabhupada, he was actually visiting so many gurus in the United States. So he was meeting he was a student of one particular Hatha Yogi for more than 3 years. Then later on, he took initiation from Swami Chinmay. And then he met this Hatha Yogi and then told this Hatha Yogi that I have taken Diksha from this particular Swami. And then this Swami claims himself as Jagat Guru. Then this particular Hatha Yogi told, no, he is not actually Jagat Guru. Real Jagat Guru is the spiritual master of the Hare Krishna movement. Then Bhaktivedanta Maharaj became disturbed because he had a bad impression of the devotees. So because that time the devotees were like, they would go on Harinam in the west, wear dhoti kurta, put tilak and go on Harinam. So that was like a completely alien to the western culture. So Bhaktivedanta Maharaj was thinking that what is this, these people are some kind of foolish people, they are putting some paints and they are actually putting some bed sheets, etc. Then he was having a bad impression of the devotees. So then, just to disprove this Hatha Yogi, that he wanted to actually prove that the Hare Krishna people are wrong. So he went to the Hare Krishna, nearest Hare Krishna temple. Then he bought all the books of Srila Prabhupada with the intention of actually trying to actually find fault with the books, to find like to disprove that these people are, to prove that these people are wrong. Then he started reading all the books, and within 6 months he became so much convinced that he actually joined the temple. So this is the power of Srila Prabhupada's books. So then we also see the Srimad Bhagavatam second canto, that Sukadeva Goswami, before actually starting to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, he offers wonderful prayers to Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in one of the prayers, he prays that Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha Abira Shumba Yavanaka Sadaya Yenyecha Papa Yadapashrayashraya Shudyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. So Sukadeva Goswami is saying that Kiratas, Hunas, Pulindas, they are like tribal communities who are residing in different parts of the world. They are like low class people, or Yavanas or Malechas. And even such persons, and anyone who is addicted to any sinful habits, he can be elevated simply by taking shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord. And I offer my obeisances to the master of such devotees, like the Sukadeva Goswami offers prayers. So it is not that only those who are born in, say, mixed caste, he can become elevated. But even those who are born in a very low birth, like Malaysia, Sivanas, even they can be elevated to the highest platform simply by actually taking shelter of a devotee. So this is actually very unique to the, this is the power of a devotee. In fact, in the material world, it is actually unheard. Few years back, Namanand Prabhu, he went to Kota to take training for IIT exam in Kota, because there the best coaching for IIT is available. So there, he was telling that to just join those coaching classes, first one has to actually write entrance exam. And even after writing the entrance exam, then they will put the students in different batches. Those who have scored well in the coaching exam, they will put in, say, particular batch. Those who have not scored that much well, they will put in the second batch, like that. So in this world, for coaching for a mundane education, people actually see the qualification. They don't admit a person just because, even if he's failed in a 12th exam or 10th exam 3 times, 4 times. So they will actually want to admit only bright students, because they want actually good results for their coaching institute. But here, on the other hand, when you come to the spiritual platform, the devotees are so powerful that they can actually elevate up, they are ready to accept even a person who is born in a low family, and then they can elevate a person to the highest platform of pure devotional service. And especially among the spiritual teachers, Srila Prabhupada's position is so unique because he was the person who actually went to the West and then he elevated so many persons who were born in a low families and then he elevated them to such a high platform of devotional service that even great brahmanas are ready to take shelter of such persons. So when one meets a pure devotee, he actually, when he meets a devotee, the devotee actually gives transcendental knowledge and he tells the conditioned souls about the glories of the Supreme Lord and he tells them to chant the holy name of the Lord. So we once Ambarish Prabhu, when he first met Srila Prabhupada, the one devotee was introducing Ambarish Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada, the great grandson of Henry Ford has come. He is the grandson of Henry Ford, like that he was introducing to Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada immediately said, where is he now? So then Ambarish Prabhu was actually completely taken aback, because Ambarish Prabhu was little in a he was overwhelmed by that glorification. Then, but Prabhupada immediately put him on the spiritual platform. That where is he now? Although he is a great Henry Ford, but he is now no more. So this is a pure devotee. Actually, when one meets a devotee immediately puts the conditioned soul on the spiritual platform. So and he actually tells the glories of the Supreme Lord. That is why Queen Kunti prays in his wonderful prayers. Queen Kunti says, Shrinvanti gayanti grinantya bhikshnashah smaranti nandanti tavehitam jana tayeva pashyantya chirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramam padambujam. So Queen Kunti says that one who constantly hears, chants, remembers, or even takes pleasures, or remembers the glories of the Supreme Lord, or even takes pleasure in others doing so, such a person will see the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that when the hearing process is complete, when the hearing process is perfect and complete, then all other processes automatically become perfect and complete. And he further says that each and every one of the transcendental activity of Supreme Lord is competent to bestow the desired result provided the hearing process is perfect. So we have actually different activities throughout the day in devotional service, but one has to remember the Supreme Lord while doing the activities. So otherwise one may actually deviate. So once there were some book distributors who were actually distributing books in the United States. So there was one professional salesman. He became amazed by these devotees who were actually distributing so many books. So he came to the devotees and asked the devotees, for whom are you distributing these books? And how much money are you getting in return for distributing these books? The devotees were saying that actually we are not getting paid for distributing these books. So and this professor salesman became amazed that these people are distributing books without actually taking any money. Then he said the devotees that he gave them the devotees his actually visiting card that I have a salesman this thing. I am ready to take you on job in my company. That anytime if you actually change your mind, so please come and join me. So then some of the devotees actually later joined this salesman. So the devotee was saying that because they were distributing the books, but because they were not in the proper consciousness, they were not doing it in Krishna consciousness, so they actually fell down from their position. And Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Juhu, that time there were so many rats were there in the temple. So then devotees complained to Srila Prabhupada that there are so many rats are there in the temple and how to actually solve this problem of rats. So Prabhupada said actually devotees are not chanting their 16 rounds properly. Then devotees actually got confused. The devotee told Prabhupada again, maybe he thought that Prabhupada didn't hear it. So he again told that Prabhupada, actually rats are causing problems. And Prabhupada said, devotee, you should chant your 16 rounds properly. So then Prabhupada said, because you are not chanting your rounds properly, then your consciousness is not getting purified. So when your consciousness is not purified internally, then that reflects externally also. So then you don't maintain cleanliness outside. So when there is no cleanliness, then rats also come and actually make the place unclean. So that is why one should actually hear the glories of the Supreme Lord. So one may say that here Queen Kunti is saying that one should actually constantly hear and chant the glories of the Supreme Lord. So one may say that like it is not possible for us to hear and chant the glories of the Supreme Lord constantly, because we don't have so much of taste, and like we have so many activities to do throughout the day. So then that is why we have to chant in the morning, and then we have to hear the glories of the Supreme Lord in the morning. So by that preparation, one can actually remember the Lord throughout the day. So this remembrance of the Lord is especially stressed by King Kulashekar. So King Kulashekar says in one of his wonderful prayer, he says that Amnayabhyasananyaranyaruditam Vedavratanyanvaham Medacheda Phalani Purta Vidaya Sarvam Hutam Basmani Tirtanamanvagahanani Chapada Gajasnanam Vinayatpada Dvandvam Boruha Samsmratim Vijayate Devasanarayana. So King Kulashekar says, all glories to the Supreme Lord Narayan. Without remembrance of his lotus feet, the reading of the scriptures daily, it is simply like crying in the wilderness, crying in the forest where there is no person is there. And without remembrance of the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, if one actually performs so many austerities and vratas, it is simply like simply exercise to reduce one's fat. And then King Kulashekar says that if one does not remember the Supreme Lord, but on the other hand, if one performs his prescribed duties perfectly, it is simply like offering oblations into ashes. There is no use of that. And if one does not remember the Supreme Lord, but if one visits the holy places and takes bath in the holy rivers and this thing, then it is simply like a elephant's bath. Because elephant takes bath and then immediately comes, and then he puts dirt in his body. So there is no use of that. That is why one should actually remember the Supreme Lord while doing one's activities. When Krishna entered Dwaraka, then Krishna actually blew his conch shell, Panchajanya. So it is described there, the Krishna's conch shell was actually white in color. But when Krishna blew the conch shell became reddened by the reddish lips of the Supreme Lord. So the Prabhupada writes in the purport that by ardent love and devotional service, or in other words, by spiritual contact with Krishna, everything becomes spiritually reddened by just like the conch shell in the grip of the Lord. So when one is in Krishna consciousness and executes his duties, then his activities become spiritualized. So in order to remember Krishna, one has to first hear about Krishna. And Parishit Maharaj is a person who actually perfected his life simply by hearing from Shukadeva Goswami. So when Parishit Maharaj, when he was cursed by Shamika Rishi, he actually decided to fast until death. Then he went to the bank of Ganges, and then he decided to fast. So as soon as the news reached that the great devotee Parishit Maharaj has renounced the whole kingdom and is deciding to fast until death, immediately the sages from all over the universe came to see Parishit Maharaj. So because the sages knew that Parishit Maharaj is a great devotee of the Lord and is definitely going back to Godhead, so they want to take the darshan of the pure devotee before he goes back to Godhead. So then then Parikshit Maharaj asked the sages two questions. Parikshit Maharaj asked, what is the duty of a person who is about to die, and what is the duty of a person who is and in all circumstances? So then they say there was actually silence. So that time the great personality Shukadeva Goswami appears. So it is described that Shukadeva Goswami, he traveled all over the world, all over the earth, disinterested, and he was satisfied with himself, and he had no symptoms of belonging to any particular caste, and he was surrounded with women and children, and he had dressed himself as if others had neglected him. So then Prabhupada writes in the purport that it appears that all the sages did not have a unanimous answer to Parikshit Maharaj's question. So that's why Shukadeva Goswami appeared at that place to answer Parikshit Maharaj's question. And then Prabhupada says that because the sages, the munis, are basically, they have different opinions on the same subject matter. Prabhupada says that, like, many times we see the doctors, they have different opinions for the same problem. So then similarly the munis had different opinions for Parikshit Maharaj's question. So then Shukadeva Goswami appeared. So it is described that Shukadeva Goswami was 16 years old, and his legs, hands, thighs, arms and shoulders were very delicately formed, and his eyes were beautifully wide, and his nose and ears were highly raised, and he had a very attractive face, and he had a neck which was well formed and beautiful like conch shell. So Prabhupada describes in the purport that whenever a great personality is described, either Supreme Lord or even a pure devotee, the description actually starts from the lotus feet. So that is why the description is starting from the lotus feet. And then Prabhupada says, a person is honored not for his achievements, but not for his age. Because here Shukadeva Goswami is just 16 years old. Prabhupada says that by his knowledge, he was more experienced than all the sages who were present in the assembly. So then the description continues. So it is described that Shukadeva Goswami's collarbone was very fleshy, and his chest was broad and thick, and his navel was very deep, and his abdomen was beautifully striped, and his arms were long. Then he was actually naked, and the hue of his body resembled the complexion of Lord Krishna. And it is described that because he had attractive smiles, and because of that the women were attracted to his personality. And then it is described that the uncommon symptoms of the Shukadeva Goswami was actually typical of great personalities according to the science of physiognomy. Then, as soon as Shukadeva Goswami appeared, then he immediately, all the sages who were expert in the science of physiognomy, they honored Shukadeva Goswami by rising from their seats. So it is described that how the sages and Shukadeva Goswami welcomed each other. So Prabhupada says that the sages welcomed Shukadeva Goswami by rising from the seats. And Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj offered his obeisance to Shukadeva Goswami by bowing down to Shukadeva Goswami with all his limbs touching the ground. And then Shukadeva Goswami, he actually respected the sages by exchanging greetings, by shaking his hands or by nodding his head to the sages. And he bowed down to Vyasadeva and Narada Muni because they were actually his spiritual master. They were actually his spiritual masters and grand spiritual master. And the street boys and women who were actually, initially they were surrounding Shukadeva Goswami, as soon as they saw that all the sages were respecting Shukadeva Goswami, they were struck with wonder. And then they retired from their frivolous activities. Then it is described that In a wonderful verse, there's a wonderful verse in this. Sutta Goswami says, Sasamvratastatra Mahan Mahiyasam Brahmarshi Rajarshi Devarshi Sangai Vyarochatalam Bhagavan Yatendur Grahakshatara Nikarai Parita. So it is described, Sugadeva Goswami was then surrounded by the saintly sages and demigods, just as the moon is surrounded by stars and planets and the other heavenly bodies. His presence was gorgeous and he was respected by all. So Prabhupada writes a wonderful purport. Prabhupada says, in that assembly, Brahma Rishis were present. Brahma Rishi such as Vyasadeva was there, and Deva Rishi such as Narada Muni was there, and the great killer of Kshatriya kings like Parashuram was there. And then Prabhupada says, even the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, like Vyasadeva, Parashuram, they were present. And he says that Sugadeva Goswami was not a Devarshi, and he was not a Brahmarshi, or he was not an incarnation also. But yet he excelled all of them in respects paid. So Prabhupada says that, so this is the position of a devotee. So devotee is a, he says that this means that a devotee of the Lord is more honored than the Lord himself. One should therefore never minimize the importance of a devotee like Sugadeva Goswami. So then Parishit Maharaj, so then Sugadeva Goswami immediately accepted the seat, and then he was ready to answer Parishit Maharaj's question. Then Parishit Maharaj, he actually bowed down to Sugadeva Goswami, and then he politely inquired with sweet words and with folded hands. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that Parishit Mar, if a person does not want to solve the problems of life, then he should not actually approach a spiritual master. Like many times in India, we see like people approach gurus because they want to solve their material problems. Like they want to get cured of certain disease, or they have some business problem like that. But Srila Prabhupada says one should not actually approach a spiritual master if one does not want to solve the problems of life. And then he further says, even if one wants to solve the problems of life, but still one has to approach in a certain manner. Here Parishit Maharaj politely inquired with sweet words and folded hands. So Prabhupada says, if one does not know how to put forward questions to the spiritual master, then he has no business in approaching a spiritual master, even if he has the right questions. So then Parishit Maharaj starts glorifying Sugadeva Goswami. He says, Parishit Maharaj says, O Brahmana, by your mercy only you have sanctified us, making us like unto places of pilgrimage. All by your presence here as my guest. By your mercy, we who are but unworthy royalty become eligible to serve the devotee. So Parishit Maharaj is actually taking a humble position. He actually considers himself as unqualified, and then he actually glorifies Sugadeva Goswami. And then he further says, just like a atheist cannot remain in the presence of the Supreme Lord, similarly, the ghostly sins of a conditioned soul cannot remain in the presence of a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada says in the purport that a pure devotee or the holy name or paraphernalia of the Supreme Lord are all on the equal level. So if one chants the holy name of the Lord, ghosts cannot stay in the place. So we see once in the West, devotees actually bought one property for ISKCON, but the property was haunted by ghosts. So Prabhupada told the devotees, you just go to every room of this palace and then loudly chant the holy names. Then they did the same thing, then all the ghosts ran away. So this is the power of the holy names. So then Parishit Maharaj says, Krishna, who is very dear to the Pandavas, has accepted me as one of his relatives just to please his cousins and relatives. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that a pure and exclusive devotee of the Lord serves his family interest more dexterously than others who are attached to illusory family affairs. So Prabhupada further says, actually generally people are attached to family matters, and the whole economic impetus of human society is moving under the influence of family affection. So Prabhupada says that the Supreme Lord actually gives special protection to the relative of a devotee. Then he gives the example that Hiranyakashipu was a declared enemy of the Supreme Lord, but still, because he was the father of Prahlad Maharaj, then Narasingha actually liberated Hiranyakashipu. And then he further says, why does actually Lord actually protect the relative of a devotee? Because the Lord actually does not want his devotee to take anxiety, that because devotees naturally is anxious about his relatives and parents. So Lord actually does not want his devotee to take his anxieties. So because a devotee may actually leave his family members to practice devotional service, so Lord does not want his devotee to take unnecessary anxiety, so he gives special protection to the family members of a devotee. So then, after that, Parishit Maharaj again puts forward the same questions to Sukadeva Goswami. The same questions he asked the sages, that what is the duty of a person who is about to die, and what is the duty of a person in all circumstances? So then Sukadeva Goswami starts answering from the second canto. So then at the conclusion of the answer, he says that Tasmat Sarvatmana Rajan Haris Sarvatra Sarvada Shotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyas Bhagavan Runam. So Sukadeva Goswami says that one should actually hear about and glorify the Supreme Lord and remember the Supreme Lord in all places and all circumstances. So one may ask the question that, so now he has actually answered Parishit Maharaj's question. So it is expected that Parishit Maharaj will immediately ask the question to Sukadeva Goswami that please narrate the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So this is what one may expect. But after that, if you see the first question which is put forward by Parishit Maharaj says, Bhūya eva vivitsāmi bhagavān ātma māyaya yatedam śrujate viśvam durvibhāvyam adīśvare. Parishit Maharaj says that, please, I wish to know how the Supreme Lord creates this material creation by his energies, and which is actually difficult to understand even for the great demigods. So it is actually surprising, because Parishit Maharaj did not ask Sukadeva Goswami to narrate the Vrindavan pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada says that Parishit Maharaj did not ask the Vrindavan pastimes of the Supreme Lord, nor did Sukadeva Goswami tell Parishit Maharaj that you should actually hear about the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So because actually there was only seven days left, so Sukadeva Goswami did not take a shortcut, and then he did not directly go to the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So it is described that the professional Bhagavatam reciters, it is not that they were actually cursed to die within 7 days, but they actually directly go to the Vrindavan pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Especially in the professional Bhagavat Sabda, you will find the Rasleela of the Supreme Lord, or the Krishna showing mercy to Sudama Vipra. So they actually only narrate those pastimes which are actually beneficial for, which actually they consider themselves to be beneficial. So this is from this instance we can understand that one should actually hear Srimad Bhagavatam right from the first canto, step by step. It's not that one should jump to the other cantos. So Prabhupada makes this point in the purport. So once in the 1970s, so Prabhupada, some devotees started what is called Gopi Bhava Club. So this Gopi Bhava Club, some devotees actually stopped reading Bhagavad Gita. They considered that Krishna and the gopis are greatest. So then Pradyumna Prabhu, some devotee told Prabhupada that there are some devotees who are actually think that gopis are the greatest. So Prabhupada immediately told him to call the devotees. So then those devotees came and those devotees asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, is it not true that gopis are the greatest? Gopis are greater than the trees or the insects, trees or the grass or the birds in Goloka Vrindavan. Prabhupada said, there is no difference. Then Prabhupada said, because we are in the material platform, for us actually there is no difference. So Prabhupada said that the philosophically, when you actually have perception of what is transcendental, then we can make distinctions. But from the material platform, you cannot make any distinctions. So here, in this verse, we see that in this set of verses, that Narada Muni is actually giving the transcendental knowledge to Chitraketu Maharaj, by which Chitraketu Maharaj can see the Supreme Lord. So here Narada Muni is first actually giving knowledge about the transcendental position of the Supreme Lord. So that is why he says that just like parts which are made of earth, they are situated on earth, and after being created and transformed into earth, they are situated on earth after being created, and they are transformed into earth again when they are broken. Similarly, the cosmic manifestation is caused by the Supreme Brahman, and it is situated in the Supreme Brahman and annihilated in the same Supreme Brahman. So first one has to hear about that. That is why Narada Muni first gives the transcendental knowledge of the Supreme Lord. Then by chanting these mantras, then Chitraketu Maharaj ultimately gets the darshan of the Supreme Lord. Listen. See if anybody has any corrections or comments there. I say, since it is 9 o'clock, okay. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.